Hey, everybody. We've got Jeff Moore with Thursday Night Boardroom, a community that is your own personal board of directors. We dive into how, if you can see it, we can share it. Jeff explains how he continues to learn with a purpose, and Jeff gifts a give that you'd be nuts not to take him up on. Check it out. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. I'm Brandon Strauss, and I believe that life gives to the giver. And today we have a real special guest, a dear friend of mine. I can still picture the first time I ever talked with him, so I'm getting a little gushy-eyed over him. We've got my dear friend Jeff Moore of Thursday Night Boardroom to help you with the give. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brandon. At the very beginning, I thought you were going into your podcast voice, and then all of a sudden it just turned into regular. It was that soft, supple voice that you
Yeah, that
use,
soft,
but
silky, smooth. All right, you know what?
it is always wonderful to be here, and I literally cherish the times that we get together, and we do quite often. So I'm a lucky guy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, as opposed to waiting to the end of the show for our members, where's the best place to connect with you outside of the give that you're going to tease at the end of the podcast?
Okay.
Where's the best
Oh,
place
you
for
mean
them to,
I'm
yeah, where's the best place for them to
Oh,
reach
you
out
know
to you?
what? We just talked about this, and I'm going to change it to Jeff at thesuccessfinder.com.
Nice, nice. We will make sure that we put that in the show notes if you do have trouble remembering that, but we will get that over there. You know, let's just dive into it. Our ability to gain access to information has really changed over the last 2 to 3 years. In our younger years, it was textbooks, teachers, friends, and family. Beyond the Googles, YouTubes, and other search engines out there, how has your learning changed from your early years versus today?
It's more purposeful. I just think that I only look to learn things that matter to me. I'm only looking to I look to learn, and my learning is how to articulate a better question
What is that
is
saying? You I called you the day on this. What is that saying right
oh
there?
yeah, you were coming back from Arizona. You're only limited by your ability to articulate an effective question. And the better you can ask a question, especially in this day of ChatGPT, right? The better the question you can ask, the better the information is that you're going to receive, or the better the feedback or the answer you're going to get. So, more fulfilling answer
Ah,
that you're going to get. And
yeah, I love that. And you were talking
the other
about
thing
more
is,
purposeful. Yeah, keep going.
well,
Yes, sir.
but the other thing is the question is pregnant with the answer. So you really have a difficult time even articulating an effective question if you don't have some idea of the answer, right? And so the better you can continue to ask questions into this queue, the better the answers are going to be, and the more specific the answers are going to be, which are then going to ask, give you the ability to ask even better questions of yourself, of the universe, of
There you go.
ChatGPT.
Yeah. Yourself, the universe, ChatGPT. I don't know if that's the hierarchical point on there, but
Sure.
there's the thing, and that's something that I've learned just watching and listening to you over the last many years, is being able to ask yourself better questions. You said something in there. You said more purposeful learning, you know, things that matter to you. Was there a time and point, and what did that look like, and that what you were learning wasn't really purposeful and it didn't matter at the end of the day. Looking back, it's easy. Hindsight's 2020. It's easy to play the poor man's mentality and go backwards in time. But what has driven you? Where did you start from to be at, to have that purposeful learning?
It wasn't like yesterday. It was back in the 90s as I was really prescribing, I guess, to Windshield University. There was a I was driving a lot in Southern California, whether it was to Los Angeles or to the Valley or down to San Diego. I was probably driving in excess of 2,000 miles a month. And at after a while there, it was like, hey, you know, what are you going to fill the time with? It was before, you know, at one time it was before, you know, cell phones, or at least cell phones that weren't 45 cents a minute, you know? And so, you know, you could listen to the radio. I was totally bored with that. And so I prescribed or subscribed, I should say, to a Nightingale Conant, which was where all the tape programs were, you know, whether it was Tony Robbins or Brian Tracy or Joe Polish or, you know, any number of people. Joe had the number one marketing program on Nightingale Conant for, God, for a lot of years, lot of years. And so, you know, I would listen to these. I had like I was a sales guy, so they had a subscription called Sound Selling Magazine, and it would just tell you all these great stories of, you know, sales connection. And that's where I learned that empathy was really the thing that was going to drive sales instead of the features and benefits and connecting with your client. That really was a big part of it. But I'll tell you, Brandon, the thing that's most important to me was just, and it's maybe in my DNA, but I love to share, and I love to teach, and I love to coach. And so there's a saying that we have in Thursday Night Boardroom that is learn to teach, teach to know and share with passion. Right. And so, and all the while, everybody's like, well, what about doing? And it's like, you've got to be doing the entire time, because you really can't learn anything without doing it. And, you know, and even my boss will say, some people teach and some people do. And it's just like, well, I actually do, so I can teach. So I'm good with all of that. But when I found that me learning something new and being able to associate it with an individual I care about made me want to learn it even deeper, because it was not just, oh, can I consume this, but how am I going to turn around and share this to be of value? Like, oh my God, I'm learning this and I can't wait to share it with Brandon, you know? And so that became the excitement. That became the treat in all of the learning, right? The big bonus was, I can't wait to learn this so I could turn around and share it with Brandon. I can't wait, you know, or whoever, right? And now it's gotten to the point over the last 20 years, or, you know, maybe 15, 20 30. Years.
About 30 on there now.
But no, but I mean, you look back to like Thursday Night Boardroom and when it started back in 2010, but maybe 5 years ahead of that. So, you know, it's going on almost 20 years, but the ability to learn something on behalf of somebody else was something that was really important. Now, a lot of stuff that I do in the business I'm in the seafood and the meat business, I'll learn something in order to share it with my customer, you know, to have a greater value to them, to help them understand the story behind something, or help them, you know, learn this. Why? To help them articulate a better question for themselves. And so that's really been the excitement of all this, is that I don't consume knowledge like, you know, back in college or high school. It's like, I'm consuming it so I can take the test, so I can do that. It never worked for me. I mean, I did okay. Trust me, I did okay. But me learning on behalf of somebody else, being their advocate, out there traveling around the world, you know, learning about, you know, seafood and the way people process their seafood and how things are done, you know, that was what made my job the best job in the world, because I traveled around the world, you know, sourcing seafood and then coming back and telling stories about it. And as a storyteller, that's really kind of the thing for me, was I'm learning it to ask better questions so I can tell a better story.
Man, I hear so much love. Like, what comes out of that is your love for not only your knowledge, but then how to share that with others. And it's such a lost art right there, is you're doing it out of love. And that's what makes you one of the best, if not the best in the business in what you do.
it's, you know, it's super reciprocal and inspiring, because people know that I love to tell a story, but at the same time, then after, if you're truly a good friend of mine, then you're doing the same thing. You know, I can't wait to share this with Jeff. Mm-hmm. I went to this restaurant and we had this great, you know, steak. I can't wait to talk about Jeff. Well, really, what was that? And, you know, and so it's been really fun, especially over the last 20 years, with friends and colleagues and customers and things, you know, telling stories to each other, telling each other's story, you know, and helping people see things. And so that's really where the learning comes from for me, is to be able to learn so I can turn back around and teach it. And in that, I learn it even better.
Yeah, you are a gift of knowledge. And I intentionally mean the words gift of knowledge. You know, I mean, right. In the entrepreneurial space, it's easy to lose our footing, you know, lose our confidence and sometimes second guess our decisions that we're making along the way. I know I've had conversations with you around this. How have you developed a winning mindset, and what are some of the techniques or practices you're using to overcome self-doubt or limiting beliefs?
Well, I have people around me that won't put up with it. First of all, the guy I work for, you know, the guy that's got the, you know, had me create the go take it sign behind me and the be in the fight sign over there. Right. And everything's about blocking and tackling. And, you know, I mean, foundational things, behavior things. And so if I'm second guessing myself, or I'm getting caught up in my own underwear, if you will, he's the first one to just go, whoa, like, what the hell is this? You know? And so he continually elevates me, to a place that, isn't necessarily common, or that you're not, I don't even use comfortable. I just, that I know I'm capable of doing, but some days I just don't want to. And that's just not an option around here. And so, and then Doreen's the same way. My wife is the same way. My kids are the same way. You know, they expect me to operate at a different level. And that is the sincere obligation that I have to not only my family, the people I work for, but my friends, you know, to be that guy that everybody feels, that they know that they're safe around, and they know that I'm truly interested in them. I think that the most interesting person in the room is the one that's the most interested. And that's just something that I'm very blessed to be around. You know, if I'm, you know, whether it's Nick, you know, if I call Nick and I'm caught up in my, you know, and even Sean Stevenson, I don't know if you ever got to know him, probably not, before he died, the little guy.
Right? No, but I got to learn a lot through you and Joe because of him.
But yeah, but he would call every so often and catch me at a moment, and I'd start to complain to him. And all of a sudden he'd go, yeah, well, it could be worse.
And if anyone doesn't know, look up Sean Stevens. There's what? Sean Stevenson.
Dr. Sean Stevenson. Yeah.
Yeah. The again, from the stories I've heard, and just, you know, watching the day that that Joe helped put together,
Day of Sean. Yeah, actually, you can go to dayofsean.com and learn everything you need to know about the guy.
Truly is.
S-E-A-N. Yeah.
The one thing to hit back on there, you said it's the people around you. I'm sitting here and have, you know, this logo for what it is, and the companies that we have, because of the people in the room, because of the people that I put myself around. You know, I mean, it started with a Travis Chappell to a Steve Sims to a Nick Peterson to a Jeff Moore. And it really is. They will challenge you. They won't let you rest because they expect greatness out of you because of what they see. And so by surrounding yourselves with like-minded individuals that are going to push you when you need to be pushed, I think it gets you so much further in life as opposed to surrounding yourself with yes people.
Yeah, it's true. And also, you can get caught up in some things that, you know, some woo-woo stuff or things that might not serve you or anybody around you. You know, it's just something that you kind of prescribe to that came, that you're like, yeah, I'm going to, you know, use some words or some things that just sound a little strange. And every one of us is going to, you know, pounce, yeah. You know, and they're going to say, whoa, what the hell, who the hell's this?
Yeah. Who's this
you
guru?
Know, so it keeps you, you know, Nick's book bumpers. I mean, your friends and your colleagues and the people that are closest to you can represent are the physical manifestation of those bumpers, you know, and that's the thing. If you can eagerly and happily receive that type of love, albeit tough love or true understanding, beyond anything else, that's the gift. That's the real gift that you know, that is bestowed upon you.
Yeah, no. And, you know, one piece that I want to put in there that sometimes gets overlooked is the family, your family.
Yep.
Keeping them informed, but not throwing it down their throat because they weren't in that room. You know, when you do a data download, it's got to be in little micro steps, a little like micro doses, because they're not living those moments. And you come home wanting to share all of it with them, and they might not be there. So, you know, understanding that you have a family at home and taking time with them so they know that, like, you know, they're part of that journey in some form or fashion.
And that's a big part of it. I mean, I remember Doreen and I had a back in probably 2012, 2013, when I was part of Joe's Platinum and I was out doing things, and it was, Doreen was kind of, you know, she felt secondary, and in a lot of ways she was at that time. And, you know, we figured out that that's just not the way we can be as a couple. And we needed to make each other, that's where safety and vulnerability came from, is we need each other to feel safe in their vulnerability. And we need each person to feel like they're the most important person in the world to each other. And that's not always easy to do. And it's very easy to take for granted. But that was, you know, that's very important. But the other thing that you're mentioning about that goes beyond just family. And that is, as a leader, let's say you're the CEO of a company, the owner of a company, whatever your title is, and you end up going to something like a Genius Network or something like the Guardian Academy or the Success Finder, you know, retreats. And you come home and you want to regurgitate all that, not on your family, but on the people in your business. And you now all of a sudden look to pivot because of this stuff that nobody learned except you. You came back and you're talking glowingly about all these people nobody's ever heard of. And now you're pivoting into something that nobody's familiar with. You want to make somebody feel very unsafe? That's right there, the prescription. There it is. There's the recipe for making somebody feel very unsafe. And so that's not only important for family, but it's important for the place that, you know, that you run, you know, and the people that work for you, is super important. Because, by the way, if you've been to one, you've probably been to another, and you're probably going to some more. Can you imagine how people feel if every time you come back from an event that you're pivoting and, you know, going to people going, write a list down of everything you do in the course of a day. And they're just like, what the hell are we doing now? You know, and it's, you know, I'm going to fix us, you know, it's that type of thing. And so you got to be real careful. And it's exactly like you said, they weren't there. They don't know who you were talking to, what you were doing, what you were learning, but you're coming back now and everything's going to be different.
Right.
You only have to go to a couple of those types of events before everybody in your company starts to go, I think it's time for me to find something else to do.
You know? Yeah. No, that is very true. I've seen it. I've experienced and lived some of that because I didn't realize. And I've been, you know, here's the thing though. Not one person's left because of that. I can tell you that. So fortunately, I learned eventually through my family and through my friends and business partners how to take your foot off the pedal a little bit, you know, as opposed to just forcing it down. Just small little pieces when you come back, but nothing more than just checking in. Sometimes they just need to be checked in on the team as opposed to having the next new shiny object.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. And, but it's, you know, it's a lesson I learned many, many years ago, but, one that, you know, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to apply some of that stuff either. It's just how you do things is just important as things get done.
Yeah, absolutely. So. You know, speaking of that, you know, getting things done, remaining nimble and, you know, being able to adapt quickly in real time is, to me, it's kind of key to success. Yeah. What are the tools that you use to work through uncertainty, change, disruption as it's happening in real time? And I know from what you have to deal with over the last few years, you've probably had a few tools with disruption.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, fortunately during that time, Nick Peterson and I had become very dear friends. And so I had somebody that helped me through a certain part of that. But I think that through these uncertain times, if you have a process of delivery, you've got something that you know how to do, you know who you are, and you know how you do it. If you have that kind of clarity and certainty, you can live through a lot of things. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be anxious moments, but if you really truly are comfortable with who you are and the way you do things, and you have evidence that, you know, what I'm doing works, because you do it with repetition, you know, pig-headed discipline and determination. You know, I think that there was a lot of things like that that gave me confidence in what I was doing. And as weird as that, it goes back to questions. Mm. And being able to ask yourself during times of despair, what is happening now? You know, and who's in charge? You know, who's responsible for taking us, you know, out of this moment or these moments of despair and forging ahead? You know, for me, that's always been my default mode. Even on the back of my business card is I've got five questions that when I ask, you know, when I meet with somebody in the food service business or restaurant business, or, you know, distributor or whatever, you know, these five questions, especially when I'm asking a restaurateur over the last 14 years, I've had it on the back of my card. It's, you know, it starts with like, what are you using now? Like, what's going on? How do we know like what the thing is? And even today, an example where I had a vendor supposedly sell my specification product to a competitor, and I lost some business because of it, or seemingly lost some business. And John comes out of the office, my boss and friend comes out of the office and says, you know, have we started to ask the right questions? You know, is that company really quoting this particular spec, or is it our spec? You know, like, are they quoting our apples spec, or is it something else?
Usually it's
do
not.
They know? Do we know for sure if it's that? Because these seem a little different to me. You know, what they're pricing and everything seems like we might be getting upset about nothing right now, but that's the first question to ask, you know? And so all of a sudden I'm like, yeah, what are you doing now? And so you go back to that, you know, and what is happening now? Right. And what are we doing about it? Or what are we doing with this? Right. And how consistently are we utilizing this? Right. And you know, where did we gain this information? Where are we gaining this service or this product or this understanding? You know, I mean, those are things that give us better answers and help us ask the next five questions or four questions. And so that's what ended up, even today, it happens every day. And it's funny because anytime I am in a customer situation and I need some help, very rarely with seafood do I not ask the questions, but if it's beef, pork, or chicken, there's a lot of different components to things and how things are produced and processed and whatever. And those questions are super appropriate, the five questions that I ask on the back of my card. And if all of a sudden I go into John or I go to somebody and I say, you know, this is what my customer is looking for, and they start asking a question that is representative of questions on the back of my card, and I don't have the answers, everybody jokingly says, okay, you're getting your cards taken away for a week. You know, you're not going to be able to use them, you know? And so it's like, shit. So, you know, that's again, back to those people around me, you know, and holding me accountable. And so it's, I hope that kind of answered the question.
No, it absolutely does. And the protein world, you're king of the castle. In the community space, you hold such a dear place in my heart, and other people, many other people that I know, and we look forward to on a monthly basis of something that I want to talk to you about called Thursday Night Boardroom. You know, when someone invests in their future, they usually have a better than vague idea what they're going to get. What should people expect when they enter your reality and come to Thursday Night Boardroom?
So Thursday Night Boardroom, just real quickly, is what people would recognize now as a mastermind. It was never intended to be that from the beginning. It was just a really kind of a place for us to learn and get better together and, you know, watch people's videos, if you will, and talk about them and what those things mean to each other, and really have a good dialogue there, but which turned out to be, you know, ultimately a mastermind. Where everybody that if you're attending something called a mastermind and you're not the center of the universe for a little bit of time during that, it's not a mastermind. It's where people come together to collaborate, you know, and be able to talk about what's going on in their world and to be able to share their opinions and ideas with others about what they're going through. And so that's really what a true mastermind is, where people have a common goal, you know, of elevation or to attain something. You know, you can have a mastermind within a company that everybody's got this particular set of goals or KPIs, in place. But what we have is a group that is now mastermind group. It's got, you know, almost 1,000 people from 27 countries, but that doesn't matter. The numbers. It's the people that show up at Thursday Night Boardroom the last Thursday or this month, the first Thursday of the month. And it will, just because of scheduling things, but it's, you are expected to be vulnerable and to be able to share. But my job is to help you feel safe in that vulnerability. And so when somebody comes in and, you know, there could be 10 people in the room or 20, we kind of talk about a theme, if you will, of the, of the day or, you know, here's where we are in the year and and there's some interaction. And then we get around to every single person that's in the room or for the virtual room, if you will. And so they can share, they can first introduce themselves in a certain way that we call the compelling introduction that we'll be talking a little bit about who they are, what they do, how they do it, who their customer is, you know, all these things, and the value that they deliver, and the evidence of their value. And then what's going on, you know, like what are they sharing? What are they seeing? What are they observing? And it could be, hey, I'd really like to, you know, get your advice on something. This is where I am, you know, and people will share where they are. If they have a hard time coming to that, you know, if it's nobody, I find it very few people like that whiteboard or, you know, the blank canvas of trying to explain, but, you know, that's where me and my ability to, ask questions, articulate effective questions, helps somebody. And sometimes it's just like you and I did in that Mexican joint when we met, you know.
Oh my God.
You know, like, hey, you know, it's, you know, who sits next to somebody and they just go, how do you make your money?
Yeah.
You know, how do you make money? No, not this thing. How do you make money? Like, you know, and how much time you spend? I mean, it was so intrusive. But you were so generous with this because you knew where it was coming from. You know, it wasn't judgmental or it wasn't anything. It was truly a desire to get to know who you were and, you know, and what you see. Right. And so that's, you know, obviously the beginning of a very, very close and honest and valuable relationship that we have with each other. You know, that's what you can expect in Thursday Night Boardroom, that you're going to expect to bring it. You're going to expect to give us your full self, but you're going to be expected to work your way through these vulnerable moments. What's the magic on the other side is that what some people think are these insurmountable obstacles, you now have a room full of people that are like, I've been there before. You know, let me help you. Let me give you my story, tell you my story and see if that helps you, you know, tell a better story to yourself. And so, you know, that's what Thursday Night Boardroom is. I think that, you know, for me, some of the best compliments I get is I didn't sleep that night. You know, I was just, my mind was spinning with what we were talking about and, you know, how people are receiving this stuff and it's so meaningful to them, that it can be something personal, something business-wise. The way they turned around and helped somebody else is something else, because when they're helping somebody else, they're truly talking to themselves as well. And so that's what Thursday Night Boardroom is a place that it's going to be your private board of directors, your own personal board of directors that love you unconditionally. And you're coming from all walks of life, because I believe, as well as I guess the definition, wisdom comes from multiple perspectives. And so it's not a B&I that's just like real estate people or marketing people or online people or professionals. You know, it's they come from all walks of life.
I can tell you, from attorneys to CPAs to Emmy award-winning artists to
doctors. Yeah.
Doctors, titans of the industry, business people, marketing, yep. Like just titans, yeah. That have come all, yeah. Different walks of life, showing up, being there, virtual or together. And there are those nights when you walk away from TNB and you're a better person for being there, and then, yeah. You can't sleep. So here's the thing, you're going to be a better person, and then you don't get to go to sleep all night long, and then you can text Jeff later on.
It's so funny, because the people that the first time they show up, they're like, I don't belong here. Like, this is like, you know, I don't belong here. I don't know what I have to offer. And, you know, and that is, hopefully that subsides pretty quickly.
It does. I didn't believe I belonged there. And if I hadn't have taken Jeff up on the offer that I did at the time, I still don't believe I'd be sitting where I'm at today. And I genuinely mean that.
That's cool. And what's great is that
for the next,
that now you kind of are the de facto leader of the group as well. Because you're like, you know, hey, what about this? You know, you're asking really good questions of me and of the group, you know? And so I think that that's become a value and something that I could have never imagined when I started it.
No,
I'm 5 years ago
to be a part of it. And what we'll do is this will put Jeff to the piece right here in the give that we're going to talk about today. We'll put when the next Thursday Night Boardroom is, and a way that they could at least find the gateway to come to it. It's free, by the way. But we'll find, yep. A way where they might have to hit a couple buttons, but they still can show up if it's something that it is, yep. For them. And I can tell you, yep. I doubt that my relationships, my partnerships would be as strong if it wasn't for showing up to TNB.
I think that just knowing you've got people that you can count on,
yeah.
to help you, and, you know, the relationships. I mean, back when we used to do it in person, and by the way, it's not recorded. It's, nope. Never recorded. So you don't have to worry about this going into the ether, and into the interwebs. But when we used to do them in person, you know, physical, you know, face to face, belly to belly type stuff, The thing that was so odd to me is some of these things would go 3 and 4 hours long. And I'm like, okay, we got to go. And I'm like closing my office up and, you know, turning the lights out. And people are standing out in the parking lot and continuing to talk for hours. And I'm like, people go, I'm like, fuck, everybody get out of here. It's like 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, and people are still talking. Some people are like, I didn't even leave till 1. I'm like, oh, gee. You know, wow. So I really think it's something special. And that's something, you know, if you're outside, you can only imagine what it is, but you'll never know until you're inside. Yeah. And that's something that's always been very special to me. But it all starts with, like you were just saying, like, you know, how we introduce ourselves, right? The compelling introduction. Is that okay to go move to that?
Yeah.
Right now?
Well, I mean, so that's actually, I was coming up to, you know, to the end. We've got, one last thing on there, which is, you know, I believe that leading with the give mentality, it's really the principle into every company I've built partnership. And uncoincidentally, it's the name of the podcast, The Give.
Yep.
We ask that every guest that comes to the podcast shares a little sneak peek behind what their give's going to be.
Yep.
What'd you bring for us today, Jeff?
So this is actually going to be a two-parter, okay?
Mm.
The more that you use what's given to you, the more you're going to get, okay? And so what I'm going to do is we have a thing called the compelling introduction. Not only did I do it for Thursday Night Boardroom, but Nick Peterson and I and Dan Giulianotti had a partnership called The Network. And we would onboard our clients with the compelling introduction so they can articulate what they do, because it's important for people to be able to, and more importantly for you to be able to, as the person delivering your compelling introduction, for you to see it, you to see what you do, right? And for others to see, because when they see it, they can share it. If all of a sudden you're explaining what you do and people are going to be polite, not understanding what the hell you're talking about, they're not going to introduce you to anybody because they can't see your value, right? They can't see how that could mean something to somebody. And so when we see it, we can share it. And so the compelling introduction is this literally almost like a fill in the blanks Mad Lib thing that says, my name is blank, right? Like, this is my name. And then with, and this is really important, the with part, you know, had a client at the network called Brad, by the name of Bradley Grinnan. And he had a company, my name's Bradley Grinnan with Own Your Life. I'm like, well, okay. And then he starts talking about how he helps aspiring coaches launch their business, launch their coaching business, get their first client, you know, this type of thing. And I'm like, what's Own Your Life mean? He goes, well, you know, once they're able to do this, they can own their life. And I'm like, you're Bradley Grinnan, the coach launcher. And so now if you go on, you know, in the social sphere, and you look for Bradley Grinnan, the coach launcher, that's him. And there is absolutely no confusing what he does.
Mm.
He's the coach launcher.
He's coach launcher.
Right?
It literally says what it is right there.
Yeah. And so if this Own Your Life, really, what the fuck? I have no idea. You know, oh, you need to, you know, I want to get into coaching. You need to talk to the coach launcher. It's like, oh, duh. Shit, you know? So, and then it's like, and so it's like, my name is blank with blank company, and we provide blank product or service the blank type of customer, client, or person, you know, so they can have blank type of benefit without these types of hassles. And so that's like the first part of it, right? And it's very short and sweet, you know, as somebody gets through that. And it's maybe, at that point, it's maybe 25 words. But then there's extra credit, and it's like, commonly our clients achieve blank result over blank period of time and also experience this other thing they didn't know they were going to get without, you know, again, the hassle and the bad stuff. Right. And so we have this template, and then there's also the 5 base questions from Thursday Night Boardroom. And so what I'm going to do in this compelling introduction is I'm actually going to take you through, I'm going to do a Loom video and put that, you know, send that over to you with the compelling introduction. I mean, this stuff is as basic as you can see, because, you know, this was put together 8-9 years ago. Right. And it was so funny because people got so intimidated by this simple process that they got so intimidated by the simple process that one gal who had a media company, brought a marketing guy with her to do her compelling introduction. It was hilarious. Yeah. I mean, we were just, yeah.
It sounds super simple. It sounds like, oh, I can introduce myself, but I will tell you, when you see how it's formatted and what it is, you're actually going to know what you really do better than your previous version of yourself is. Because when you see this, it lays it out.
Well, and I just did something this last weekend for Douglas James and some
Sir,
of his
I think
clients.
It's Sir Douglas James now.
Oh, good Lord. So
you did.
Lord
yeah,
Douglas
good Lord.
James. Yeah. So he, we went through the compelling introduction, and it's funny because people want to talk about what they do. And it's like, no, we provide blank product or service. You know, it's at this point that you don't want to talk about how the watch works. It's like, hey, we're going to get you a consistent pipeline of new clients or new patients. You know, we provide a consistent pipeline of new patients for your business.
Oof.
You know, it's not, we do social media and advertising and all that. Who gives a shit? What's the thing? What's the cookie? Right. And so that's what, that's part of it. It's part of the training. You're going to be able to give yourself, present yourself in such a way that people are either going to say, I want that. Oh my God, where have you been all my life? I want that. Or, oh my God, I know exactly who you need to talk to. Let me make an introduction. And so that's what the compelling introduction is. And so we will have a training with that. It'll be a video training. But here's the thing, Brandon, what I want to do. If somebody, and we'll put it into the Success Finder, in the Thursday Night Boardroom.
Mm-hmm. We'll make it simple.
You know how to make it magic.
To the Knowledge Center. And then the Knowledge Center to you. Yes.
Right. So if in fact you create a compelling introduction and, you know, and we kind of tweak it back and forth a little bit, and you take the time to create that for yourself and help me understand what that meant to you, I will then take you to the next level. And that we just talked about the network, high-end mastermind group that was several thousands of dollars a month. We did something special, exclusive for them, and that was called Deep Impact. And this is now takes it to the point where you're now going through your client journey and the meaning that your deliverable has to them, and asking questions about literally how well you know this person.
Mm.
Because the first question is, what was happening in your client's life 5 minutes before they even thought they needed help? Everybody's like, oh, he wasn't getting enough leads, or he wasn't doing. No. This is before that, where all he was saying or she was saying is, this is my life. It is what it is. Because it's important to be able to follow and have somebody back in that trajectory, so you can now create that trajectory point. You don't know where, if you don't know where they've come from, if you don't know what they were tolerating in life, how do you have a starting point of giving them some understanding, some new perspective, and then be able to set that trajectory of their new life and their new success and their new accomplishments? You've got to get it back here. You know, and so we start with that, and then there's about 20 some questions. I'm refining that, about 20 questions that really say a lot about you, your deliverable, what it means to your client, and what it meant to you, and how you were able to learn something new about yourself through your client journey. And so that's the bonus of the bonus, right? So
that's huge right there. And I want to be. What you're gifting, what you're giving to the person that actually takes you up just to take the time, do the homework themselves, and then go back and forth with you, then to that next bonus, that next give, it can help change the trajectory of what you're going to do in 2024, 2025 and beyond, because you will now know yourself better than you previously did. That's beautiful.
And the best part about this is, and I've got to, you know, as people continue to refine that, it's really interesting how they go back to the process and they refine it, and it helps them simplify and clarify, you know, in a way that wasn't possible before. And I just, and it's just a tool that helps you learn more about yourself, what you do, what you mean to the people you serve, and how important that is to you. And if in some way that even gives you a 2% advantage, I'm the happiest guy in the world.
That's huge. You know, it's the questions you ask and those you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
And it time and time again, those are true. They are tested, and you've seen what it's done for you. You've seen what it's obviously done for me. I'm blessed to call you a dear friend. We've got Jeff Moore, my dear friend, founder of Thursday Night Boardroom. Check it out. He just gifted and gave you a tremendous, amazing opportunity. And I hope to see you on Thursday Night Boardroom next time, whoever's out there listening. Appreciate it. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. It's been great.